Both Kathy and Gabriel did something that most of us do when we read this passage, and they basically use loads and burdens as interchangeable words. But that's not what is taking place in this passage. There are two separate words that are used. One is burden and one is load. Burden has to do with something that's a huge weight, a boulder-like thing that crushes us. And it could have to do with something that is so great that we can't bear the load of it. And that's why we get confuse it sometimes, because there is a load to it, okay? It's the kind of thing that's, whether it's spiritual or physical or emotional or mental, we just don't have the strength and the resources to deal with it. And we need help. So Paul says we need to bear one another's burdens. There are things in life that we just can't handle all alone. But then at the end of the passage, he says we each have to carry our own load. And the word there is a different word. It has to do with kind of we have to carry our own knapsack, the way that Kathy talked about going to school and so on. So, in January of 2014, I was diagnosed with cancer. And I had to have surgery. And then I went through interferon treatment, and I was out of it. I was getting crushed under the burden of that. And people in this congregation came around me and Nancy and helped us with that burden so that we didn't get crushed. Mark Hoffman and a bunch of other guys would come up and they'd mow my lawn for me, and I'd lay there in bed and not be able to do much of anything. And I don't know that we would have been able to make it. And the staff, including Kathy at the time, took up a lot of the burden of leading this church. I don't know that we would have been able to make it alone. So there was burden bearing that was taking place. So today, 2 years later, you know, I have to carry my load, which is now it's a cane. That's my load, and you can't bear that for me. That's kind of the residual of that cancer stuff. But here's the thing. That's not what Paul's talking about here. There's plenty in Scripture that says that's exactly what's supposed to happen in the body of Christ. But that's not what's going on in this text. When Paul says bear one another's burdens, he's not talking about those kinds of things. He's talking about the burden of sin that has caught us. When you read different passages, different translations of this text, sometimes it says, those of you who are spiritual are to restore the one who's caught in a sin. But some say found out in a sin. Others say overtaken by sin. The thing I don't like about some of those translations is the word that is used that is translated caught is not, oh, I caught you. That's not the word that is used. The word that is used is the kind of thing that says, I've been overtaken by a sin. In other words, I've been running along and the sin has caught up with me and trapped me. And I've been caught. See, Paul's been talking about this battle between the flesh and the spirit. And he says the works of the flesh are clear and they have to do with different sexual sins, but mostly they have to do with social sins where we're divided from each other, where we're angry with each other, and where we're ripping things apart. And so he says, no, what you have to do is live by the Spirit and not live by the law. The law brings death. It's not going to solve any of that. The Spirit brings life. Live by the Spirit. So in this text, he says, those of you who are spiritual, when you see somebody who's been overtaken and trapped by sin, you need to restore them in a spirit of gentleness. And the word he uses for restore is katartismos, which is also used as mending. The idea of restoration here is if there's a bone that's been broken or a bone that's out of joint, it gets put back in place. That is katartismos. If there's something that's been torn apart and ruined, it gets mended. That's katartismos. If there's a relationship that has been broken, that relationship needs to be restored, and the person needs to be restored. That's katartismos. And so he says, if you really want to be a spiritual person, the issue is not living by the law and becoming some kind of moral person. The issue is you need to restore those who have been trapped by the sin of their life. And what is sin anyway? You know, sometimes we get it all messed up and we trivialize sin. Well, you don't do this, you know, don't drink, don't smoke, don't chew, and don't go with the girls who do. That's a trivializing of sin. Sin has to do with the breaking of shalom, the presence of all things good, the way God created the world to be. Sin has to do with disordered love. That means either loving the wrong things or loving the right things in the wrong way. And it creates destruction in our relationships, in our lives. It's pain for us. What Paul says is, if you want to be healthy in the body of Christ, those of you who have eyes to see and you notice someone who's been overtaken by sin in their life, the solution is not to point the finger at them, but it is to restore them. So even though these rocks that you are given are representing, as Gabriel said, burdens and loads, I want you to think right now differently. I want you to think of these rocks only representing burdens, not loads. Loads have to do the things that we are responsible for ourselves, that we do need to carry ourselves. Burdens have to do with those things that are bigger than we can handle by ourselves. So I want you to think of these rocks that you have in your hands as burdens, not loads. But then, because of the text dealing with the issue of how you deal with someone who's trapped in a sin, I want you to think of Jesus and his encounter with the woman caught in adultery. See, there she's not only overtaken by a sin, but she's caught in a sin. Interesting that it's only the woman who's caught. So what does Jesus do with that? Rather than pointing the finger of accusation, he gets down on her level and begins to talk with her accusers. And ultimately he says to all of those who have a stone in their hand, ready to stone her, let the one who is without sin cast the first stone. And one by one, they drop their stones and walk away. And Jesus' response to the woman is, where are your accusers? Where are the ones who would condemn you? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. In that act, in that moment, what Jesus does with that woman is he restores her with grace. So I want you to think also of these stones representing all of the people that you want to throw a stone at. All of the people that you want to point the finger of blame at. All of the people that you want to accuse for their sin. That you want to say, ah, I've caught you. See, Paul says, Be careful. When you restore someone, be careful. Have humility, because you could fall just as easily. You could be overtaken by your sin just as easily. You too could fall. I don't like the phrase, but it gets at it. There, but for the grace of God, go I. It's an attitude that says, I don't have any right to condemn. I don't have any right to point the finger. I don't have any right to exclude people. The truly spiritual person is the one who comes alongside those who are under the crushing weight of the burden of the sin in their life, and rather than condemning them, restores them in a spirit of gentleness. So if the lesson isn't really about coming alongside Bill in the midst of his dealing with cancer, as good as a thing that is, that's not what this is about. Well, what would be an example of what it would be about in our life? The same year that I was diagnosed with cancer, Michael Phelps was arrested for his second DUI. Here's a guy who was at the top of his game, so to speak. He had more Olympic gold medals than anybody. He'd retired, he was done. Everything was going his way. On the outside, everything looked beautiful, but he was overtaken by a sin because he was unraveling on the inside. And at that moment in time, if you read the newspapers and if you read the magazines, everybody was down on him because of his sin. Oh, they may not have called it sin, but that's what it was. And they were ready to throw any stone that they could find at him. But there was one guy, a guy by the name of Ray Lewis. You know who he is? Football player. Rough and tumble. A man's man. He had his own problems in life. And he came and he stood alongside of him. And he talked to him, man to man, face to face. Not to condemn him and not to put him down, but to bear his burden with him. And to do that, he had to reveal his own stuff. To talk about the places where he had a burden that was too big to bear. And what God did in his life to restore him. And so he encouraged Phelps, get into rehab. You need help. You can't bear this by yourself. There's stuff that needs to be dealt with in your life, and you can't deal with it on your own. You can't train hard enough or long enough. You need help. And Michael Phelps listened, because the guy who came alongside of him, rough and tumble as he was, did so with a spirit of humility and gentleness. And so he went into rehab, and he went into rehab not only physically, but he also took with him a book that Lewis had given to him, Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life. And that book and that rehab was Michael Phelps' lifeline. And the end result was that Michael Phelps was restored. He was restored back to some health that brought his life back together, but he also was restored into the world of swimming, and he's now is in the fifth Olympics of his life, and he's going to swim probably today, and who knows if he wins more medals. But more importantly, in the process of being restored that way, because of Ray Lewis's bearing of his burdens, he was restored into relationship with his father, a relationship that had been broken for decades. Because someone decided, instead of condemning, I'm going to come alongside and bear a burden. So when you bring that rock up and put it on this table, let it represent the burdens that you bear in life, the sins that have the capability of overtaking you and trapping you and bringing you down. But let that also represent your decision that you are not going to throw stones at anybody. Father, I ask that you'd help us. Help us to bear one another's burdens. As we continue to bear our own loads, the things that we are responsible for, that we need to pay attention to. So that in the process, you will restore us into right relationship with you, but also into right relationship with ourselves, and then ultimately into right relationship with all the people around us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.